bring greetings to each one this morning. The Lord's the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here, the house of God. I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Text verse for the message. I'd like to read verses 51 through 56. Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." I'd like to especially focus on the last part of verse 55. "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." I've titled the message this morning, "What manner of spirit is it?" What manner of spirit is it? Here, in this situation, of course, there was strife between the Samaritans and the Jews. And because Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, the Samaritans did not receive him. And his disciples wanted the privilege of calling fire down from heaven to consume them, to burn these people up like Elijah did. And I didn't remember, what that was about. So I looked that up, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 1, where King Ahaziah had fallen through a lattice, and he was sick in bed. And he sent messengers to go over to another city. I forget where that was, but he sent messengers over to inquire from the idol Baal about whether or not he was going to recover from his sickness. And on his way over there, on the messenger's way over, God sent Elijah to meet them. And he asked them, are you going to inquire of Baal because there's not a God in Israel? And they turned around and they went back to King Ahaziah, and Ahaziah asked them, well, why did you come back? And they said, well, they met this man. And he asked what kind of man he was, and they described him. He said, well, this is Elijah. So he sent out a captain of 50 with his 50 men, and they went out to look for Elijah. They found him sitting on a hill, and the captain hollered out at him, come down, thou man of God, come down. The king wants to see you. And Elijah called down fire from heaven, and it burned up that captain and his 50 men. So King Ahaziah sent out the second captain of 50 with his 50. And that man was maybe, if anything, a little more impertinent. And he, hollered at him, you man of God, come down, and come down quickly. The king wants to see you. And Elijah again called down fire from heaven, and it burned up the captain and his 50 men. So King Ahaziah sends out the third captain with his 50, and this man had a different manner of spirit, evidently, because he went up the hill and he fell on his knees in front of Elijah and he begged for his life and for the life of his men. And then the angel of God spoke to Elijah and he said, it's okay to go with him. And Elijah went down, went to King Ahaziah, and he told him that he's not going to recover from his sickness. But as we look at this here, Jesus was telling his disciples, you don't know what manner of spirit it is that is telling you to ask for fire to come down and consume these people. You don't know what's motivating you. You don't know what's influencing you. As we look at Scripture in 1 John 4, the Bible tells us that we are to try the spirits, whether they are of God. I'd like to turn to that briefly. And how many times as we go through life and as we are influenced and motivated and moved by different things, how many times don't we understand or know what manner of spirit it is that is motivating us or moving us? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." You know, it would be nice if it would always be that clear and black and white. You know, when you see a person that denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he denies the existence of God, you know that per this scripture here, that spirit that is motivating and moving that person is not from God. But it is the spirit of Antichrist, as it says here. But as we go through life, as we're faced with decisions and faced with things in life, a lot of times there may be gray areas where we need discernment to know what manner of spirit it is that is motivating us, that is bringing this thing to us, that is moving us to want to maybe do this or maybe not want to do something. And we need this discernment. So, you know, it's so important that, first of all, we are born again, that we have the Spirit of God within us, because as the Bible says, the things of God cannot be discerned by the natural man, because, you know, they are spiritual and the natural man can't discern them. The natural man can't understand it. So we have to have the spiritual man. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to have the Spirit of God in order to discern and know what manner of spirit it is that is moving us. You know, and I believe we can say that, you know, with scripture to back it, that there are only two kinds of spirits that are going to be motivating us and moving us to do things. It's either going to be good, the good spirit, which is from God, or it's going to be the evil spirit, which is from Satan, from the kingdom of darkness. And as we look at, you know, the motivation of the Spirit of God, that motivation will always agree with the Word of God. It will never contradict the Word of God. And it will always be a motive that is pure and holy and that will bring glory to God, that will be for the good of the other person, and not selfish, for our selfish reason, but it will exalt Jesus Christ. Versus the evil spirit, the motive that comes from Satan, will be for selfish reason. It will oftentimes be to the hurt of the other person. And it will not exalt Jesus Christ. It will deny Jesus Christ. You know, it will bring glory to Satan if you can do such a thing. And, you know, it may appear sometimes like the right spirit, but that is where we need the Spirit of God to help us to discern what manner of spirit it is that is moving us, whether it is evil, even if it might appear right on the surface, but underneath, you know, there may be selfish motives or there may be evil motives even that is motivating us or moving us. You know, and the motive of that spirit, the spirit of Satan, of the kingdom of darkness, will always be evil. It will exalt self. It will bring bondage, versus the Spirit of God will bring freedom. It will bring freedom to serve versus bondage. And I have jotted down, you know, a number of different spirits that I think we could be motivated with today. And you know, I'm sure that there are a lot more that I have never thought of, and you could probably take each one of these and make a devotional or a message out of each one of these different spirits. But the first one I have here is the spirit of procrastination. You know, when God wants you to do something and you procrastinate and you say, well, I'll do that, but I'll do it later. And, you know, that would be from the evil one. Yeah, naturally, he doesn't want you to do that which God wants you to do. Another one is the spirit of rebellion, to rebel against God. The Bible says that in Samuel there, that the spirit or that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. To obey is better than sacrifice, he says. To rebel against God, to rebel against the existence of God or the right that God has, the authority that God has in my life. You know, to rise up against God. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And that's where he ended up, you know, out eating grass like the cattle. Another one would be a critical spirit. You know, the critical spirit would see others through critical eyes, demanding perfection and not recognizing the flaws and the faults that I have myself. you know, thinking that I am perfect and you are not. And, you know, maybe not realizing the flaws, or maybe I should say not admitting the flaws. Maybe sometimes the critical spirit actually realizes it, but it's in denial mode, and it doesn't admit it, even though it might realize it. Another spirit from the evil would be the spirit of unworthiness, the thought that I am not worthy. You know, the Bible here is full of promises from God to God's children, to God's people. The spirit of unworthiness would acknowledge the promises, but it would say that I am not worthy of receiving the promises of God. And that, of course, is a lie from Satan. You know, there are so many promises here that promise a spiritual abundance, a spiritual victory, but Satan wants you to believe that you're not worthy of that. You aren't worthy. You're not good enough to receive God's best and God's goodness. And so, therefore, you come to the point where you don't ask because you don't believe that you are worthy. And if you do ask, you ask in doubt. You ask wavering. And the Bible says if you ask wavering, you're not going to receive anything. And we miss out on the blessings of God's promises because we believe we are unworthy. We never receive the help and the spiritual abundance and the victory that God so lovingly wants to bestow on his children. Another one is the spirit of despair. The Holy Spirit enlightens you. The Holy Spirit shows you the path to victorious living. And he shows you that it is possible, that help and grace are available from God. But then along comes the spirit of despair and says, you know, this is just too hard. You know, I just cannot do this. I will never attain to this. And you get stopped in your tracks. The spirit of selfishness. It wants what is best for me, looks out for myself, even if it means hurting or taking away from the other person. The spirit of laziness, you know, waking up in the morning and I'll sleep another 10 minutes. You know, I'll just lay here and relax. A spirit of discontentment. You know, even when we have plenty and more than enough, a house full of sacrifices, like our Sunday school lesson talked about, the spirit of contentment comes and it shows to us the things that we don't have. And I want that. And along with that is the spirit of greed, the spirit of lust. And then we have the spirit of pride that thinks itself better than the other one. And that could lead into contempt, where you have a contemptuous spirit, thinking yourself so much better than the other person. And spirit of self-righteousness, thinking that you are more righteous or better than the other person. The spirit of hypocrisy, making yourself or making others believe that you are something that you are not. And of course, the spirit of deception along with that, to deceive others, to do things in a behind-the-scenes way that others think that you might be okay or you might be doing the right thing, when actually you're working behind the scenes and you're deceiving. The spirit of anger, the spirit of unforgiveness, the spirit of doubt, where you question God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and so forth, or questioning my ability to do what God asks me to do. You know, and actually that would be questioning God's ability to enable me to do that which he asks me to do. The spirit of unbelief. Now, we teach that believing is a word of action, an action word. So unbelief could also be an action word. The opposite of believing, the opposite of faith. You know, we believe something, we take action on what we actually believe. You know, if you believe that there was a tornado coming to wipe out this building, you'd be heading for the basement. So, if you have the spirit of unbelief, an action word, it could sometimes mean doing nothing. But even doing nothing is, in a sense, doing something. Doing nothing is going to have its consequences. You know, when we don't believe what the Word of God says, we are going to act accordingly because of unbelief. The spirit of fear. The spirit of fear cripples a person. It keeps you from doing the right thing. You know, peer pressure. The fear of standing up for what is right. It cripples you. It keeps you down, if you will. Keep you from doing the right thing because I'm afraid. So, you know, as you look at decisions and things that you are faced with in life, as you view the choices that you have, and, you know, usually when you have a decision to make, you have at least two choices, if not, you know, sometimes three or four or five. You know, as we look at what manner of spirit it is that is bringing us to that, or giving us the options, if you will, you could ask yourself, as you look at each choice, you know, option number one and option number two, as I look at what would motivate me to want option number one, or what is it that would motivate me to want option number two, what manner of spirit is it that creates the desire within me to want that option? Is it from God? Or is it something from myself? Something that I want to do? Is it something that I want to do that pleases me? Or is it something that I want to do because it pleases God, that God is wanting me to do, that will bring glory to God, that will draw me closer to God? You know, what manner of spirit is it? You know, when I think about habits that we form in life, you know, the thing of being in church early, you know, a person that is consistently early could be tempted with pride in his earliness, in his consistency. Versus a person that is late, you know, consistently late. I understand when there's times when a person is late because of unforeseen circumstances that come up. But a person that is consistently late, what manner of spirit is it that brings a person to consistent lateness? You know, what are the decisions that led up to that? You know, it is a series of decisions, a series of choices that have been made, motivated by some spirit. I mean, I believe most all decisions that we make in life are motivated by some spirit or another. And there's usually, I think there's only two, good or evil. And when you think about sitting in front of your computer and you get on Google and you type in the search that you want to make in Google, what manner of spirit is behind the words that you are typing, coming from your mind down your arms into your fingers? Or when you decide, you know, what kind of clothes that you're going to buy and wear, you know, what manner of spirit is it that determines the clothes that you put on this morning or yesterday, or the vehicle that you drive, or the way you cut your hair or style your hair? What manner of spirit is it that moves married couples to try to shove the work off on the other? You know, waking up in the middle of the night and the baby is crying, and the wife says, "You get it." And the husband said, "No, you get it." You know, and I heard the story of, you know, how the one dad was pretty proud that he got the baby to say daddy first before he said mama. And then in the middle of the night, they woke up and the baby was over in his crib, you know, calling out, "Dada, Dada." And the wife says, "Well, honey, he's calling you." You know, shoving that off. But, you know, what manner of spirit is that? What manner of spirit is it when a person takes his own way and goes contrary to the word of God, but he says that God is telling him to do this? What manner of spirit refuses to take responsibility for his actions and instead of taking responsibility blames others for his problems? And it came to my mind the story I read a number of years ago of this man that had bought a brand new motorhome, you know, spent thousands of dollars, And he was cruising down the interstate at 70 mile an hour. And he left the driver's seat and he went back to get a cup of coffee. Well, during the time that he left the driver's seat, the motorhome veered off the road and crashed. Well, he sued the manufacturer of the motorhome because nowhere in the manual did it not say in black and white, thou shalt not leave the driver's seat when you're cruising down the road and go back and get yourself a cup of coffee. And he won the case. So what manner of spirit was that? You know, there could be several there. But, you know, I believe that just shows the depravity of our country, our nation, and the depravity of mankind, which is in agreement with the Word of God, as it says in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So what manner of spirit is it? The Bible says further in Hebrews chapter 6, for it is impossible, and I left out some there, but if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. But in verse 9, it goes on and it says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. So we have a choice to make. What manner of spirit do you want to motivate you and to move you? It is your choice, and you only have two choices. It's either from the kingdom of Satan or from the kingdom of God, from evil or from good. And now I would like to bring out some of the other aside from the good spirit. The first of all is the spirit of power. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, that roots out the spirit of fear. It roots out the spirit of despair, the spirit of unworthiness. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Anything that God asks me to do, I can and will do. Not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is and who I am in Christ. Now, I appreciated the devotional on the palm tree. You know, breaking the band of wire that is around it. You know, not allowing that evil to fester and to grow in and to grow around the evil, but to break that evil through the power, the spirit of power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That any bondage can be broken. That any bondage we can be set free of. Because of the power of Christ within me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Brother Jay read that scripture in Sunday school class. All things, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, he says. The spirit of victory. The spirit of power. And then the spirit of love. The spirit of love, it gives and gives and gives. It serves. It always does what is best for the other person. Irregardless of what it means for me. It sacrifices itself. It gives itself. The agape love. And it always brings glory to God because God is love. The spirit of a sound mind. I like to think of that as a wise mind. A mind that is wise. A mind that not only listens that only listens to the voice of the shepherd, of Jesus Christ. And yes, the howl of the wolf, you know, rings out. And the sound mind, the wise mind, will hear the sound, but it doesn't listen to the sound. It stays focused on the voice, the still small voice of the gentle, loving shepherd. You know, the enticing allurement of deception, the wise mind, the sound mind, it hears that, but it doesn't, or yes, it hears that, but it doesn't listen to it because it is focused on the sound of the voice of the shepherd. And that is all it will really listen to and obey and be motivated by. The spirit of joy, the spirit of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness, of goodness, of faith, of meekness, of temperance, of forbearance, of forgiveness, of kindness, of compassion, of humility, of contentment, of submission. In our bulletin, the song, Holy, 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 the Spirit of Holiness. Not self-righteousness, but God's righteousness. And the Spirit of Praise. You know, if you study the Bible and the characters in the Bible and the things that they did, as you observe and as you look at each character, you can almost always determine in each setting whether it was a good or an evil spirit that motivated and moved that character in that situation. Judas, when he betrayed Jesus. Definitely from the evil. Several different evil spirits. Peter, when he denied Jesus. Eve, when she took of the tree in the garden. She was tempted. King Saul, when he didn't completely destroy the Amalekites like he was told to. And then he tried to lie his way out of it. All four of those were definitely, very clearly from the evil. You know, how many times are we motivated and moved by the evil, and we don't know what manner of spirit it is? We don't recognize it for what it is. We leave the door open instead of giving it all to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him to seal that door, to put His hedge about us, instead of focusing on the voice of the shepherd. And on the other hand, you know, Abraham, when he was asked to go and offer up Isaac, and he did that, rising up early in the morning, what was motivating him? Joseph, when he fled from temptation of Potiphar's wife, and then he served in prison faithfully, even though he was wrongly used and wrongly accused. Daniel, after the decree, knowing that the decree was signed, he went to his window, he kneeled down with his face toward Jerusalem, just like he was wont to do, like he always did, and he prayed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, giving the ultimatum, you either bow and worship this idol or you're going to be thrown in that fiery furnace. And they stood, and they stood. And they told the king, we're not careful to answer you. We don't mind telling you how we believe because we serve the living God. So my desire for each one of us is that we would search our hearts, our lives, the decisions that we have made, and allow God to give us discernment and show us what manner of spirit is it that has influenced my decisions in my past life. If it was an evil spirit, allow God to move you with His spirit of repentance, His spirit of reconciliation to bring you back. You know, and it could be a spirit that is influencing you to do something or to not do something. But it is always one of the two, good or evil. What manner of spirit is it? And as you face decisions today and through this week, remember, what manner of spirit is it? What is moving you? What is motivating you? I'd like to close with a couple of scriptures. One out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Remember, you are worthy as a child of God. Because of Jesus Christ, you are worthy. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. You are not bound by the spirit of fear. In Jesus Christ, you can be free. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, things from the Spirit of God. What manner of spirit is it? Let's kneel for prayer.